Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday, December 9th, 2022. And before we jump into this topic during this Advent season, Joy in Hoping, a series that Jason launched a few weeks ago on Fridays, as we invite studio guests to participate in a discussion during this Advent season. And in fact, next week we'll have the Joy in Knowing, and then on the 21st, the Joy in Living and Loving. But I want to make a few announcements, because it's an exciting day in Springfield today. From 1 to 4 p.m. we'll be serving coffee, hot cider, cookies, snacks. There'll be gift bags and prizes. And if you come out between 1 and 4 p.m. you can meet some staff. Donna Leland will be there, our office manager, Joyce Mankey, Tim Nelson, myself, and maybe some of our board members, Paul and Butch and others that assist. I think our prayer facilitator, Michael, and other staff members, come on out. Maybe we can record you or have you a part of a future broadcast. So that'll be today from 1 to 4 p.m. at the WLUJ Studios, 600 Mason Street in Springfield, Illinois. Come on, drive out, make an afternoon of it. You can go to the State Capitol or the Lincoln Museum or some other things in Springfield, but we would encourage you to stop by the station 1 to 4 p.m. And then tomorrow, 11 to 3 p.m. and we will be serving a lunch, hot dogs and chili, chips, snacks, cookies, gift bags, prizes, and other fix-ins. I think some people were going to bring in brownies and some other homemade cookies. And so you can be a part of those festivities 11 to 3 p.m. tomorrow at the WLUJ Studios. But wait, there's more at noon. If you were tuned in yesterday for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard from Rick and Cindy Mulkins. They're going to bring six of their eight children and put on a little mini concert for us all. So we'll fit everyone into our downstairs studio area, and it's actually a lunchroom and an office space, but come join us. I think they'll begin presenting right around noon, a little mini concert. Now, I'm calling them the Mulkins Family Singers, a takeoff of Sound of Music, you know, the Von Trapp Family Singers. I think it was something like that. I don't know what they call themselves. They've been singing about a year or so. But six of the children will join Rick and Cindy, and they were a part of Thursday's edition of Mark and Friends. It was fun. I was in Springfield yesterday. I'll be there again today, and I'll be there on Saturday. But Rick and Cindy really have a heart for families, for their children, for proclaiming the good news message of Jesus. And so I hope they'll share a little of their testimony and sing and be a part of tomorrow at noon. So come join us either today, 1 to 4 p.m., or tomorrow, 11 to 3 p.m. Well, I began today's topic, Joy in Hoping, as I looked up joy and thought about different things. And I like this Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our heart by the Holy Spirit, who He has given us. And that hope, the joy in hoping, there's an element of hoping, of trusting in God, and we can have the joy because of the work He's done to us. We get to proclaim that good news message. We can joyfully proclaim it because there is eternal hope because of the work Jesus did, not anything that we can do or that we've earned, but because of what He did. And so we can have that eternal hope because He's a good God, and hope is an outgrowth of that joy that we have, the hope that we have in what He did on our behalf. But Jason, joy in hoping. We're in this Advent season. This is a time of year where pastors like yourself, you study, you prepare, you pray through your message, you think through this time of season, you try to find points of application in your messages so that we can go into the world and proclaim the good news message of Jesus. But during Advent, there's a greater awareness of this season. And how does joy fit into that?
Well, joy is central to the whole season, right? I mean, joy is supposed to be found in Christ, and this season is to remind us that Christ has already come and that He is going to return again. That's that song we sing, Joy to the World. Many of us sing Joy to the World as though that's about Christ coming into the world in his first advent as a baby. But no, joy to the world is about his second advent, his second return into the world. One of the things we've got to be really careful about in this season, though, is that we don't treat it like Jesus hasn't come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been to a lot of places where people are like, Jesus is coming, Jesus. No. Jesus has already come. This season simply reminds us that we need to be prepared for his second coming. And so last week we talked about joy and promise, that the whole Old Testament declares that Jesus is coming, that there is this one who's going to come. And the whole Old Testament asks this question almost, who is this one who's going to come? And anybody who's very astute in reading their Old Testament, you know that it's going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. In fact, early in the Gospels, we hear that name echoed out of the Old Testament and into the New. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so it's a reminder that God has and always will be with us, and that he sent Jesus in the flesh because in our weakness, we couldn't see beyond the flesh. Mm. We couldn't understand what to do apart from the flesh. We didn't have the faith to see into the darkness and still trust. You know, we couldn't walk by faith and not by sight. And so God gave us something in Jesus to be able to look at. God gave himself a face and a body and a way to be able for us to touch and record in living history the fact that God does exist, that he is real, that all of his promises are true. Mm. And so this week we talk about joy and hope. And I just want to just, first of all, say, Alaric, it's so good to be here with you today. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Excellent. Do you have a song for us? Do you want to do it at the end or right now? When do you want to knock out your song?
Yeah.
Every week, Alaric comes with a song. And not only that, but Alaric is probably...
This is his 29th consecutive time of joining us, Jason.
Yep.
29 straight weeks.
Yep. And not to diminish the work of every other singing man, but he is probably the greatest singing man evangelist I have ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
He mentioned, I was talking to him about my son, and with it skipping a heartbeat, he invited him to come become a singing man.
Yeah.
Alaric is always inviting people to come sing on Monday nights with the singing men.
Hey, Alaric, just to give you a little radio time, because as I was arriving a little late, and Alaric's always here early, he's waiting outdoor, and I said, are you going to be taking over if I didn't show up? And he said, yep, I can't wait. Get me behind the microphone. But what's happening on Saturday, December 17th, Alaric?
The singing men have a concert here at the mall and market in the food court.
In the food court at noon on the 17th. You're all invited. I hope you'll come out. It'll be about an hour of glorious singing to God's glory, those traditional hymns you've loved or Christmas carols. And Alaric's in the baritone section, and he and others will be ready. Yeah, he sits many times next to me or stands behind me. And so that's happening on the 17th.
Right over your shoulder, just ready to take over.
That's right.
Just be careful.
A grasp away.
Well, today we're talking about joy in hope. And I love the Holy Spirit alive and well, because the verse that you read today is actually the very place that I'm at today.
Hmm.
So without any communication, you're led to the same place I was led. And that is in Romans 5, because Romans 5 is really the Christmas gift that we get. Romans 5 is all about our salvation in Christ and what God did, who we were, and what God did even in light of who we were. You know, so much of our Christmas tradition is wrapped around this person who gives gifts only if you're good.
Hmm.
You know, only if you measure up. You know, only if you're on the nice list. You know, the naughty list, you get a lump of coal, but on the nice list, you get this big bag of gifts. And Romans 5 comes along, and Romans 5 says everybody who deserves coal, they get the gift.
Hmm.
Every single person. And so I just wanted to walk through it because I think that it says a lot to us that we need to be reminded of, especially during difficult times. And I think we only need to turn on the news or read the newspaper to know that we are in difficult times. And listen, there was no time that was darker or more bleak than when Christ came into the world. The Roman Empire, which would make the current empire look like nothing, was firmly in place in the land of Israel and was taxing the heck out of people, was making it impossible to travel, was keeping people impoverished. And Christ, in the midst of that darkness, the light of the world came into the world. And so Romans chapter 5, it begins with, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained an introduction or access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. And I love this because it begins with a therefore. Mm-hmm. And so we always have to ask what question mark?
What is it there for?
Yeah, what's the therefore there for? Well, it's therefore to point us back to chapter 4, which says in verse 13, for the promise of Abraham or to his descendants that he would inherit the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness that comes through by faith. And then down a little farther in verse 24, it will be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Hmm. So the Bible tells us in that therefore that the law wasn't going to save us, that tradition wasn't going to save us, that none of this was going to save us. It was only going to come to those who believe and that faith was credited to. And so it says that we have been justified by faith, and to be justified simply means a legal decree. It is a solid legal decree that we are God's people, that God has made this decree. You know, and this decree answers actually what comes before Romans 5, Romans 1 through 4, in which the whole human race has been found guilty of sin, that we are sinners, that we have fallen short of the glory of God. But still continually, even in Romans 1 through 4, chapters 1 through 4, there is this cry that you can believe, that you can obtain grace through God, that salvation is there waiting for you. But you need to understand that you have a problem that needs to be addressed. And so God addressed that in Christ, that we have been justified by our faith, that by our faith in God, by our faith in Christ, that we have been given a legal and binding decree that says, no, you no longer belong to that other life. You belong to this new life. You are free. It's like what Galatians 5 says, that since you know this freedom, therefore don't go back to that yoke of slavery and sin. Don't fall back into that. What I love, though, is this promise of permanence that this passage gives us. Is therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, for those of us today, that's past tense, because we obtain that peace with God through the cross and Christ, what Christ did on the cross. So that's the past. And it even says, and through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have obtained an introduction or access. That's present. So in this verse already, it gives us the past, that we have obtained peace with God through what Christ did thousands of years ago. And we have the opportunity to be introduced and have access to him. Full access in such a way that Romans 8 will tell us that we can call him Abba, Father. We have that access today.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. And then it says at the end of this verse, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, which means that we have a future in God's promise. So in this verses here, right here, it tells us that we have peace with God in the past, that we have peace access to God in the present, and that we rejoice in hope of a future with God. This verse tells us that we have all of these things available to us for all time, and all of it is bound up in Jesus. In fact, Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. That anything that we have that pertains to God, we have because of Jesus. Now, somebody would say, peace is pretty important. I want peace. Peace doesn't mean the absence of problems. What peace means is that you know who is in control, past, present, and future. And you can continually go back and say to all of those situations that seek to overwhelm you or seek to overtake you or seem to rob you of your peace, I know where my peace is found. In fact, at our house, because we have teenagers, we call him the POP, which is the Prince of Peace. And that, all the time, you know, my kids will go, we'll say, you know me, he know the POP. You know, it's kind of like a little bit of a rap song because he is the Prince of Peace. And the peace of God through the Prince of Peace takes care of our past. It addresses our present, and it gives us a future. And I love that because, listen, the Bible doesn't say that we have peace with the world or we have peace with the flesh or we even have peace with sin. Life is still a battle for all of us who follow Jesus, but it's no longer a battle against God. That's so important for us to understand that through Christ, we no longer are fighting God. Some people don't even think about that, which tells me that they have a really low view, not only of God, but what God has done. We no longer fight against God because our peace is found in God, that we have peace with God in such a way that He invites us again to call Him Abba, Father, which is so important. And then I love in this verse where it says this, into this grace, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Did you ever think, Alaric, about standing on the grace of God? Standing on the fact that I have received this gift that I don't deserve, that I should never have received, but I did anyways?
Yeah.
I was thinking he was going to jump in with Standing on the Promises.
Yeah.
That's another song.
Yeah.
I know you, Alaric. You should have been already singing that for us.
But just think about this. Just think about all the voices in the world who might say, you're not good enough. Yeah, but I was good enough for God to give me a gift that I didn't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're not. Yeah, but God gave me the gift that I didn't deserve. I mean, to all those voices that would seek to diminish us or to destroy us, we can speak back to that voice, I stand on the grace of God. I stand on the fact that God gave me this thing that I didn't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And so why am I seeking anything from you?
Yeah.
I mean, the gift has already been given to me. All of us who are rummaging beneath the tree and shaking the boxes and wondering if there's what we want under the tree, you have already received it and you stand upon it. And the problem that I think most of us face is when we don't stand upon the grace that we have been given by faith.
Mm-hmm. And I think another way of deriving what you're saying, too, is God values us.
Yeah.
And so regardless of how other people might put you down or discredit you or whatever, God values you. He created
right.
you and He desires to have that relationship with you.
Well, and listen, if I stand on the grace of God, I don't have to prove that I'm worthy of the love of God because He has given me His
yeah.
love. I don't have to say prove that God is my friend. He has already initiated that I am His friend. I don't have to continually try and gain my salvation or gain my faith. It has already been given to me. I don't have to prove anything to God because He has done everything. I can get rid of that score sheet that I try and keep where I'm like, oh, if I just do enough things, God will love me. No, God loved me when I was still an enemy, when I was still far from Him. God still loved me. And I can take all the time that I spend worrying about all of those things and I can use it to praise God for His grace.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Which is why it says in this verse, through whom we have attained an introduction or access by faith into His grace in which we stand. And then it says, and we rejoice in hope.
Hmm.
Because knowing that gives us more room and more space and more time to be able to rejoice. It makes us more cognizant of the fact that we have so much to rejoice about. And when it says here, rejoicing in hope, the word means triumph here.
Hmm.
So we rejoice with a kind of joy that is triumphant. I mean, it made me think of, oh, come, all ye faithful, what? Joyful and triumphant.
Hey.
Exactly.
Take it on the road.
We have triumph in God, and it's not anything that we could do. It's what God did for us. And in our lowest position, God declared triumph into our life, and it's only possible by the grace in which we stand. Now, many of us would say, yeah. Now, listen, that's all the good news. But listen to what the next verse says. I love verses 3 and 4 because God never plays a shell game with us. It says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And so right after all this good news, you know, past, present, and future, we by faith have been bound up in Christ, and we stand upon His grace, and in that we rejoice and hope. Yeah, but there's still trouble. We'll still face difficulty. There'll still be times where things aren't easy.
Hmm.
And those things, it reminds me of the quote by Charles Spurgeon that said, I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me back against the rock of ages. That every single one of those trials and tribulations you face is a reminder that you can't do it, that you need God, that you love God, that He loves you, that He is there for you, that you stand in His presence. You know, I've run into people so many times and they're like, I can't hear God and I don't know where God is. And I say to them all the time, He never moved. You did.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones who move. Throughout the Bible, God calls His people to turn to Him, to return to Him, to come back to Him, because He hasn't moved. He has not moved. And so we will face tribulation. And listen, it's not that those things are going to be easy, but now we have a word to speak into those things, and that word is triumph. And that triumph is found in Christ, found in Him alone. And it produces hope. What does it produce hope in? Hope in God, because hope in God is not a lost endeavor. It produces character, it produces perseverance, and it produces hope. And what does hope do? Hope doesn't put us ashamed, because we're not ashamed of the gospel.
Mm.
Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. I love how it says poured, because it's not a trickle.
Mm.
It's not a drip. He poured it in. And listen, not hope in what we could do, and not hope even in what God might do, but hope in what God has already done. And that leads us back to the manger. That leads us back to this moment where hope was poured out into an impossible and improbable place, where God took on flesh as this little baby, where we might almost look at it and laugh and go, how can that possibly save us? And yet God knew something we didn't know. And it's His grace that we stand upon. Nothing else.
Joy in hoping, part of our discussion today during the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org, under the Mark and Friends tab. And so I hope you've been encouraged by what's been said and shared. God does delight in you. He hopes that you'll come to know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We'll be singing
about
Him. The P.O.P., the Prince of Peace. And you can hear more about that when the Singing Men sing at Marketplace Mall in Champaign on the 17th at noon. Or you can come to our open house in Springfield today, 600 West Mason Street. The whole staff will share in the joy of the Lord Jesus, and that'll happen from 1 to 4 p.m. Actually, it happens all the time over there, but from 1 to 4 p.m. there's an open house. There's coffee, hot cider, cookies, snacks. There'll be some gift bags until we run out, prizes, giveaways, and then tomorrow, Saturday, 11 to 3 p.m., hot dogs, chili, chips, snacks, cookies, gift bags, and prizes again. And then at around noon, the Mulkins Family Singers, I'm calling them, Rick and Cindy, and at least six of their eight children will present a mini little concert in the downstairs studio. So lots of parking, and we hope you'll come and enjoy some snacks. But anyway, come join us at the open house today, 1 to 4, tomorrow, 11 to 3. Please be in God's Word. Be praying up your pastor during this Advent season, when there's a stirring in many people's hearts to attend church and to visit during these weeks and Christmas time. They'll come to church, and so we want to pray them up and pray for the pastors that will be delivering the various messages during this Advent season. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Alaric Shoffley, and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Let's take it out, Alaric. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.